This is Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Here are your hosts, Dr. Tim Slecker and Dr. Johnny Lupinacci, educated educators talking education.
There it is, Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk, educated educators talking education, Thursday night. Man, what a week. I know last night, you're like, Tim and Johnny weren't live. No, we were traveling, man. We were on our way back. Johnny Lupinacci, you made it back to Washington.
Oh, yeah, man. I'm an old pro at this, man. East to west, west to east. You know, I'm a little bit of a road dog, so I know how to travel. We got back safe. Man, did we have an awesome time.
I was going to say, just a reminder, too. Everybody's like, what are they talking about? We were live in person. And this is the best part. Nobody got the T-shirt. Johnny and Tim, first time doing anything together happened because we had never been together in real life in the last 4 years. Anya, right? You know, we had never met Anya.
Still shocking to me that was your first time meeting in person. This is such a special event.
Did we have an old married couple appearance or something like that on you?
Appearance isn't the right word. A sound to you, perhaps.
Okay. Yeah. So, but it was great, Tim. You know, it was especially good to be able to, one, guest on so many of the Civic Media shows. If you don't have the Civic Media app,
you
don't cruise around on the website for Civic Media, really, really, you got to, because there's so many great shows. There's some amazing topics and real energy around the programming at Civic Media. So it's great to be in the same room with so many awesome producers. We love Anya, but we got to hang with Aaron, and we got to be with our day one, Luke.
Luke, right? We got to hang with Sam. Yeah, I mean, all of the people.
It was awesome, Tim. But what were we actually there for? Our listener is probably like,
I'm going to say, you know, right now, what we were there for is because Busted Pencils is sponsored by Minocqua Brewing Company, and they sued the state of Wisconsin, you remember, to end that parasitic voucher system that hurts public schools. Minocqua Brewing Company is making Wisconsin great again, one beer at a time. Make sure you check out MinocquaBrewingCompany.com to see where you can buy their progressive beer, Johnny, because we opened up that official partnership Tuesday night at the Minocqua Brewing Tap Room in Madison. Johnny Lupinacci, Tim Slecker, Kirk Bankstead, Dr. Julie Underwood, and all of the, you know, 70. Let's do it. Let's do a Donald Trump. It was the biggest crowd ever for any type of opening. There were more people. There were people everywhere. Now, what an awesome crowd. It was usually immense. How's that for
I don't even know, man. I'm traumatized by these expletives. I really did like, though, being with a live audience because you, listener out there, you know, if you made the scene, even if you didn't and you get to check it out live, you could hear it was like this Joe's recorded before, a live audience. It was like sitcom style. You know, we'd talk about the experience teachers were having and the support they need, and you'd get a clap track behind it. But it was live audience style. The energy was great. Big ups to Kirk for his vision on seeing that event come together. I mean, talk about crossover in civic media programming and family, though. Todd Albright, that guy is just, he's got a great host of a great show. But he was our on-the-site sound guy and, you know, an all things successful due to, you know, always thank your sound person and always tip your bartender and server. But, you know, like, we had that all covered because Todd was on the scene. So big ups to Todd. Check out his show every day, and it's great.
Yeah.
But Tim, let's jump into it because, I mean, we stuff has been happening.
I jumped in. I'm going to say, you know, first of all, you know, from the news, and we have been covering this. And again, people's like, what? Well, on this one, the Title IX, all the historic changes to Title IX. So today, now again, 15 states enter a lawsuit to say we're not going to implement Title IX. And the big issue on that, though, too, is because the other news today, along with everything else, is that research out of LGBTQ plus students and their well-being is that they now fear more than ever physical harm, bullying, not because kids have gotten more bullying and more harmful, but because of hearing the rhetoric of the anti-LGBTQ plus language that keeps coming out of their state houses, public policy. The reality is, guess what? When your state says, don't say gay, that feels really like a personal threat if you happen to be gay. So the reality is that LGBTQ students weren't feeling that safe to begin with. And now after the past 2 years of rhetoric and policy geared at really pushing hard against LGBTQ students just to be seen, they're now not feeling so comfortable being in school.
Tim, I don't want to reduce it to this being a result of don't say gay. I mean, there is real violent language coming from leaders.
Right.
And then the discussions about these bills, there's just a constant barrage of hate speech really being aimed at people who are hearing say, hey, that's me. I'm a woman. That's about my body. I'm LGBTQ plus. I don't know what I am, but I'm scared to identify in anything because the kinds of ways people are talking about me or my body or my friends or the people like around me is not even hard to interpret, is about doing harm to them. And so we're being really direct. Like when we say like, there's a don't say gay law. And you know what that means? There's not like a big jump here. Mm-mm. There's all kinds of really direct violence being talked about, being done to not only young people, but anybody different in our communities. And I'd say the same thing goes for friends who are people of color that I know that are saying like, hey, this is not, brand new. This is not like a new phenomenon. Women, people of color, the BIPOC community, LGBTQ plus youth. I mean, all over are saying like, dude, when are we going to stop just spewing hate and causing harm and doing violence onto one another? And that's a good segue, man. Cause Tim, when we got to hang out with Sammy, we did a morning show with John and Gordy, which John was a great morning show, right? We got to be at Short Stack. Amidst our breakfast, the police came zooming by and headed to campus at UW Madison. And we walked down there with Sammy because a little bit concerned, like, hey, this young blood's just headed towards where the police are going. But I'll tell you what, we got inspiration from some good faculty people there and some great students who are also saying enough with the violence. Right. And who are doing a lot of work, and it's messy. And we don't have all the details because we're not on the scene, but other shows I've been listening to today in Madison are covering the kinds of ways that young people around this country are saying, we need to stop sanctioned violence. We need to stop having sort of, war be how we solve and resolve issues, whether you're thinking about, hey, it's dangerous that university campuses are calling police onto campus, or whether students versus students, we have violence on campus
right.
at UCLA that has escalated to a level. It's not a safe time to be a young person saying, can we stop the violence? Because the violence is just piling up. So it's been great to be around good folks who are sorting that out, right? Who are saying, hey, we got to listen differently. We got to do something about this. And I hope, that we can continue to express dissent and have freedom of speech without it being so dangerously violent for anybody participating in that process.
And it's interesting as you go through this, and Johnny, you ended with this, freedom of speech, to kind of say, it's like, okay, you guys are talking about Title IX, you're talking about LGBTQ, you're talking about students in colleges protesting, what's happening in Palestine and Israel. But you know what you said there though too is that in each one of these there's some form of, and again, not only, but there is some form of speech that is trying to be challenged potentially. So the idea that you're not allowed to identify as what you feel like you want to identify because those words make other people uncomfortable. And in our school, and I said, I minimized it to don't say gay, but within that don't say gay legislation was all of that violence that you said, Johnny, included in that quote, that law. And part of that too was trying to tell people, hey, if you're gay, we don't want to hear about it. We don't want you to say it. We don't want you to proclaim it. And teachers, you're not allowed to protect that freedom that your students have. There's all of this happening. So 855-752-4842. Yeah, we're just back off of a trip to Madison, Wisconsin, hanging with everybody. Minocqua Brewing Company, great live show. And then now here we are looking at, okay, education news, Title IX, four more states today enter the lawsuit to say, yeah, we're not going to do the new Title IX. And with that, hey, guess what? A survey coming out of LGBTQ plus youth saying, we don't feel safe anymore. And then if you're talking about it, you've got students now on college campuses potentially saying, safety right now is a big issue happening. Dave, we see you from Madison. You're on the line there, but we're going to wait for to hold you over just so to make sure that you have the ability to really talk to us more and more in depth about that. So, you know, Johnny, yeah, three big issues. But I would also put this out to the Busted Pencil listener because we know you're out there. Hey, whatever you want to talk about, 855-752-4842. Yeah, you mean jump in there because you got, you know, hey, if you saw us at the Short Stack in Madison eating hash and not eating pancakes, tell us that you're like, yo, man, you missed out on some of the best pancakes ever. You and Johnny Lupinacci eating hash and eggs. What are you doing at the Short Stack going in there and eating meat and stuff? Like, yeah, you know, it was funny, though. Johnny Lupinacci on the way out of there was like, that was some good hash, but it wasn't the kind that comes in a can that I'm used to. So
it was an interesting, it was a good breakfast, a wholesome breakfast. It was a great conversation with John and Gordy. Yeah. And you listeners out there calling in, we're great. So now, you know, we know there's some of you who are out there listening. You can call in anytime you want, call us up, get on the air with us. But yeah, Tim, so much happened in education and, you know, it's good to be back in the saddle from our, you know, remote studios. And to, you know, have just a kind of a grasp of all the good things that are happening in Madison, Milwaukee, and in defense of democracy in Wisconsin. Remember, Wisconsin, you are a canary in the coal mine. Mm. You are, you know, standing your ground on an important fight to keep America democratic. Mm. And I don't mean like Democratic Party. I mean like in a strong democracy, which is the interest of both Democrats and Republicans.
Making America a democracy again. Maybe let's put that out there as the call. Civic Media, Busted Pencils, all the shows on Civic Media, making democracy great again. Hey, Dave, there it is. Hey, Dave.
Throwing all kinds of things out there, Tim.
Yeah. You know what? Next, Dave, Madison, John from Green Bay. You guys are up next. Be back in a minute. Give it up! Yeah, we maybe talk to our faces turn blue, but you love it. It's Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Educated educators talking education. Yeah, back after a whirlwind trip to Madison, Wisconsin. Looking at right now, though, talking about Title IX, the pushback, LGBTQ plus students not feeling safe, and the safety on campus. But first, Dave in Madison, what's happening, Dave?
Well, listen to your show is what's happening. It's a great show. Hey, yeah, you're absolutely right about democracy. But the way to bring back democracy is to vote for Democrats with the big D. Because, you know, I mean, we have the Electoral College. We have the Senate the way that's structured. The Supreme Court 6-3, which is due to the Electoral College, which is another issue. Border suppression, Puerto Rico and Washington, D.C., our states, I could go on and on. So we have a lot. We do have a free press. Yeah, it is consolidated to a large extent, especially with but we do have a free press except for the issue of maybe Julian Assange. But the reason I called up is these protests. Yeah.
Yes, sir.
These people are not peace activists. If they were peace activists, they would not be clearly taking sides on all kinds of issues in an armed conflict. And that's exactly what they're doing. They're calling for boycotts of my former alma mater, Tel Aviv University. I mean, people there, a lot of the people there support the Palestinian, support the Palestinian cause. They have an incredible variety of positions. Some aren't even Zionists, although, of course, probably most of them are. But it's a fairly liberal institution. And I really think that's wrong. Now, as far as the protests, everyone has the right to protest, and I definitely support that right. I represented a guy once. I'm an attorney. I mean, nice. I'm an attorney. I represented someone once who was protesting during the – they had these sing-alongs at the Capitol, and I took part in that representation that the previous show just talked about. Now, I want to say – I think what they are concerned about is that this is getting out of hand, like at Columbia University, where you have Jewish students who definitely feel threatened. I mean, we have people on tape at that university talking about death to the Jews, globalize the Intifada, which, by the way, I understand. I didn't hear it myself, but I understand that that is one of the chants. The Intifada was a time when every few days, there'd be a terrorist atrocity. You know, 30 kids would be blown up. A religious event, a Seder, would be blown up, for example. That went on for months and months and months until they finally built the wall, and that stopped it. Mm-hmm. Let me go on.
Go ahead, Dave.
People, you know, they feel threatened, and I'll try to be expeditious. Jewish people, you know, they feel threatened by that. They feel threatened by the fact that hate crimes against Jews are the leading hate crime now, as far as the numbers go. And so Columbia University understands that. They understand that Jews have been threatened. And so they have a kind of apartheid system where they say, okay, you Jews, we're going to have a double system how you can access classes. Everyone else can go to class on the university. You guys can, you know, do it remotely by computer. And, you know, if you do it remotely, you know, you can't go to anything. You can't talk to your professors. You don't have the full campus experience. You can't talk to your fellow students. You know, we have the Rathskeller there. So I say, imagine not being able to go into the Rathskeller. Or if you have a lab project, how do you go to that? And so Jews feel threatened.
Yeah, Dave.
Awesome. Hey, Dave, we had to cut it short there, man. We appreciate you calling. You know, I just want to speak to Dave. He's got some great points, and he's shining some light on this, and I think we'll dive into this. There's a really great open letter from the ACLU that helps contextualize this complexity on campus. But one of the things, you know, Dave was bringing up is that this is an unsafe time for a lot of students on campus, and let's validate that. And that is in every way not an okay thing, and it shouldn't be something. And Dave wasn't doing this. I think he was speaking to this. We have to, like, resist that temptation to make that politicized or for political gain. There are non-peaceful protesters.
There are.
A peaceful protest can include actually like physical location of people and the physical removal of those peaceful protests. So we're getting these situations very, very muddied up. Mm-hmm. And the result though is they are a symbol of and a result of the fact that people do not feel safe in the world, on the campus, and it's particularly hurting it, like, specific groups.
Right.
And that we could say that, and not saying like there's a neutral stance on this, but it's really problematic. And I think caller Dave, you know, pointed that out. It's really problematic to, you know, claim everyone against Palestinians are Zionist and everyone pro-Palestinian want to see Jews harmed. I mean, these are, and I think Dave is saying that's a really problematic place to swing. And I by and large have seen on a few campus protest sites I've been to, the majority of the students do not fit those representations, do not fit that. Now, I'm not saying that that's the case everywhere, because I truly believe students don't feel safe or else they would not be putting their bodies on the line in the way that they are.
And Johnny, the way you said that though too, right, is that not feeling safe in realizing But then also you not said, you know, we're not what you said, but you know, we're not being neutral. In fact, yeah, there's not neutrality here. Calling though for students to feel safe is not a call for neutrality between people that have disagreements. As long as those, what we're saying is the disagreements can't cross over into where people are starting to not feel safe. So when Dave is talking about, hey, right now on some campuses, in some situations, certain students are starting to feel unsafe, and the opportunity to feel safe as being offered is, well, then you can go to classes online. That's not acceptable. That's not an accommodation to safety. And could we be doing more to say that, right?
Well, Tim, I don't think that Dave's in the position to say that. And I don't think you or I are, although we're probably closer to it than Dave, as somebody who has been part of that decision-making for people whose safety is put at jeopardy on campus. Mm-hmm. It is a school's duty to protect students from discriminatory harassment and violence by any means necessary.
Okay.
It is a school's responsibility to protect students from discriminatory harassment and violence. That could happen to a student in class. If we know that's going to happen in those classes, we have to create the best possible ways to provide education. Now, if you're in that situation where, like, we know students do not feel safe, and it's not just that they don't feel safe, right? They aren't safe in many cases. And so what they're saying is, I'm not safe. The school's responsible for that and is doing to the best of their ability to accommodate both students who are coming to class and who can't be at class. It's similar to the COVID thing. And
yeah,
so,
I know.
You know, I get a little frustrated because I'm actually in those classes where I'm providing accommodations for people who aren't safe. I've been that person because, yes, the people who don't agree with me have threatened me many a times. And then I have to deal with that fact that, like, I have to teach from a remote location. The problem isn't the school or the people. It's the fact that we resort to violence to get our points up across, and we can get away with it. And I think that's part of, in large, the backdrop behind this context. And I'm kind of going hard at it because I do believe that universities and schools are in a tough spot. And I think if folks are interested in it, the ACLU provides 5 points of guidance around this that really help, you know, shine light on the complexity of this, but simplify it. When we get back, though, we can get John from Green Bay. If you're still on the line, thanks for hanging on there, buddy. I just had to, you know, had to rap back at my man Dave. Dave, thanks for calling.
Gotta let it go. There. Here it comes. I love this part. I love this part.
Oh, yeah.
There you go. You know, I just gotta get it out there. A little bit of screaming. Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Educated educators talking education. Right now, conversation, looking at what's happening on campus with lots of campuses, who's safe, who's not safe. But right now, we're going to go, John, thank you so much for hanging on. John, what's happening?
I love the fact that you're talking about safety. I'm looking at Title IX in a different view than what you guys look at Title IX. Mm-hmm. I think that we need to find a safe spot for the LGBTQ community. But on the other hand, we also need to find a safe spot for the girls in the sport. People who are biologically stronger with more muscles, it's tougher to be playing against them. I've seen many instances where people have gotten hurt because they played against females being injured because they've been playing against biological males.
Yeah, so, I mean, on this issue, and John, thank you so much for the call from Green Bay. But yeah, again, it's not without the complexities to look at that. So this, to say, you know, again, the biological woman, biological man, and then what happens when biological, and then you're going to, but, you know, and it always comes down into this, though, too, Johnny.
Yeah.
We talk about sports, and so what happens when a male, biological male, decide, you know, decides that now in the transgender process that they would also like to compete now in female sports. That's always, it's kind of put into that situation. I think what John's saying, though, is that, and we do have to notice that. We have to notice that, and we have to make – when I say notice that, I know it's not –
Yeah, Tim, as a coach, a college coach, and as, you know, a high school coach and a youth sports guy, I think this is one of those things that we said is an important thing to say. We got to figure this out and get it right because we don't know how to do it right now correctly, and the answer isn't because we're trapped in the binaries, men's sports, women's sports, boys' team, girls' team. And what we actually know – from both science and athletic development and things that these things, these hard, rigid rules we've had do not work.
Yeah.
And they are not they do not really represent not only the best of the sport, but the best and the development of both identifying as female and as, you know, male. So one of the things that's been purported, and I get what John from Green Bay is saying, but I just want to shine this light on it, is that that is something that may happen if we don't really rethink how do we develop in the interest of the sport and people playing that sport.
Okay.
And that doesn't mean change the rules or change the game. Every coach knows they have an obligation to the safety of the players, right? And every governing organization does that as well. You can adhere to the safety and the development of a competitive sport without relying on gender to do that. And that is what most people in those decision-making, like those governing bodies, like USA Soccer or USA Hockey, I'll use those as a few, are really thinking through that in ways that kind of change how we understand sports. So I say, like, the general public, we are lagging,
right,
but it's going to look really different. And that's part of this being open to change and not reacting to things that haven't happened somewhere.
But
because
on that,
we've always been having to fit a square peg into a circle
right
on this one. And that's not what's going to work.
There's a progress towards what you're saying, because I also hear in this, the language of even transitioning the language to from men's sports and women's sports to sports for people. Right. And even helping people make that change of saying, you know, yeah, the binary classifications that we have done for so long, if it is now sports for people, how would we then put together rules and regulations that are trying to make the safety of the athletes, right? The athletes, not the male athletes, not the female athletes, make the athletes safe. And so we're moving in that direction to hopefully.
At the same time, as you got to look at the end goal of this at the highest level, if that's the goal. It's because most people are involved in sports for the health and the enjoyment of the sport. Very few people are going to do it as their career in terms of like become a professional athlete. But yet we do need to also create the pathway and the space for those to be equal pace. Because that's part of it too now, is you really don't have the crossover unless in order to be better cared for, or have better competition or have better resources, you have to join one or the other. Right. And so there's a big systemic way of fixing some of these inequities that I just get fired up about, because I think we get stuck on what's going to happen when that dude wants to play.
I know. Right.
Women's sports. That's what's going to happen. It's like, first of all, hold on. Like a lot of sports, I've actually seen women crushing men who are stronger than them.
Right.
Like high school basketball being one for sure. Our varsity basketball team and you know, both men and women's, and even with some students who identified differently playing each other, was pretty even competition.
Well, think about that. The automatic tilt towards assuming that men are better too, even right to move that forward and sit there and go, well, you know what? It's like, I know that there are places where you say it, and we should be looking at skill levels.
And I can't imagine a world where you're placed into your league or into your level of competition based on your ability.
I was going to say, right?
Based on your ability, your skill, your strength, your size, these things, which I'll tell you that if you only go off maybe height and size, it might be favored into one direction or the other. But no one at a high level, any sport, is going to classify that being how we measure if you're good at something. That could be, in a sense, what we understand as co-ed
and
still be highly competitive. And you could also be crossed over for that ability too. So that kind of those, that's what I mean about, we really need to not get stuck in the moment and trust the process and support that we're going to figure this out.
But we add to the moment, though, and we add to the context. And if you want to, 855.
And Title IX is pushing it. Yeah. It's saying you have to.
Yeah, we got to get in those directions. We got to move in that direction. So, John from Green Bay, thank you for that. Now, Johnny, back to the campus protests, though, too, because we can keep this moving, because the resource that you found from the ACLU is just really something great that people need to have, some exposure. And I'll just quote directly from this. You know, if we want to ensure freedom of speech and academic freedom while protecting against discriminatory harassment and disruptive context, there are five things we need to try. And yeah,
John, they offer as constructive, you know, and acknowledging that this is a complex time. So yeah. I think it's really thoughtful when people are saying, hey, of course I support student free speech, but there's also free speech of things that are causing harm towards other students. So this is one of those complex situations. How do we handle it? And understand better understanding and learning from one another on how we can handle this, and coming from a day one source on supporting students' right to protest and free speech in this country, the ACLU,
right?
So they offer those sort of five suggestion points. Should we share them, or should we?
Yeah, I was gonna say. I'll do number one. Schools must not single out particular viewpoints for censorship, discipline, or disproportionate punishment. Number two, schools must protect students from discriminatory harassment and violence. And Johnny, that gets to your point, though, too. So maybe that might mean classes online because the violence threat is there. Maybe. Number three, schools must recognize that armed police on campus can endanger students and are a measure of last resort. Four, schools must resist the pressures placed on them by politicians seeking to exploit campus tension. And number five, schools must resist.
Well, that's pressures. A double one, Tim. Yeah. I sent you a double list. The fifth one is actually schools can announce and enforce listen to this one, reasonable content neutral protest policies.
Yeah.
They must leave ample room for students to express themselves. Hey, what a novel idea. Sounds like democracy in action. Hey, schools, you gotta have a handle on this. You gotta expect there's gonna be exercising free speech. Whether there's a conflict in the world or not, it's a stalwart of university campuses, right? It's part of our country. It's part of the history of getting an education, but your freedom of speech, but it's not anything goes.
It's not anything goes. And that's what you say.
So teaching children, I'm going to say children, them teenagers, adults, like faculty, staff, teaching about the obligation that the institution has to combat discrimination, but also a responsibility to maintain order.
Right? Maintain
it's
order.
Reminding those universities those five things from the ACLU is saying, also, hey, remember, calling in the police ought to be a last resort. And you know what? Having seen that now live a couple of times in spaces, that's not a win-win for anybody. The police don't particularly want to have to be, you know, arresting students. It's not. I know that it gets purported that like these police are ready to just beat on students and drag them away, you know. And I don't think. Just reporting from the front lines, from what I saw, it did not look like the kind of person who wanted to do harm to young people. Absolutely. But they also had a job. And I think, honestly, you know, I will rarely hear me side with the cops, Tim. And I'm not saying that they should be, but they were also doing minimal harm in the process of like having to remove. Now, I would hope they wouldn't be having to remove anybody in the first place. So I like this thing that says, to universities, hey, remember, last resort.
Yeah. So. It's Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Yeah. Educated educators talking education. We want to hear from you, though. 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. And yeah, we're looking at Title IX, LGBTQ, the fact that the students are not, you know, in the last 2 to 3 years, the LGBTQ plus students are feeling the heat and feeling the pressure. And man, there's a lot of heat and pressure on campuses right now as students are trying to make sense of what's going on with the war between Israel and Hamas, what's happening with Palestinians. And even that, Johnny, we say we look forward to this because we are officially now, you know, a new partnership. We're going to be working with Rethinking Schools in the future.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Johnny, you want to put that out there? And they have, teaching about what's happening in with the war with Israel and Hamas, and we need to get there too.
Yes, because good, responsible information helps people express their utilize their freedom of speech in ways that don't lead and necessarily point towards harming one another. You know, Tim, the other thing that is key about this, and one of the breaks, I was kind of expressing my disdain for particular news sources right now that do this on both sides of the politics of this. But I like this suggestion and reminder that the ACLU has for the universities. But I also put it out there for, you know, people talking about this and reporters or folks writing and posting schools. And I could replace schools with, you know, journalists or, you know, photographers or social media content people must resist the pressures placed on them by politicians seeking to exploit campus tensions. Because the other layer of this, and now it's closely linked to education, we'll leave a lot of this discussion to our political comrades doing shows all day at Civic Media, but there is a real divisive agenda with some of this in terms of the election coming up. And so we have to be aware, we must resist the pressures placed on us by politicians seeking to exploit campus tensions.
Well, you say that, and that exploitation, we know it's going to be framed, and we see it already happening. Quote, you know, whatever political team you're on, you know, and right now the MAGA people are really trying hard to present every protester as this radical left communist liberal that is trying to break apart the fabric of American society, using, again, the protest to exploit a position to move forward with this, you know, a false sense of reality of what's actually happening to really gain political points. And so when you're hearing about this, you know, these are radical left liberals with their radical left professors working on radical ideology, trying to promote an anti-Israel, and it's anti-Semitic. And it's like, whoa, slow down. Let's take a moment here. Let's figure this out. Are there anti-Israel, anti-Palestine, anti-Semitic, anti-Islam people? Yes, there are. Let's figure this out, though. Let's go back, though, John. I'd say let's remind people there are five things we want to do, though, because remember, it's democracy that we're practicing. Democracy is messy, and we need to get it right. Busted pencils, fully leaded. Let's get it right when we get back. I love coming back for the final segment. There's something about that music that's just like, yeah. Well, it is. It's Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk, educated educators talking education. Lots to talk about. Title IX, man, good stuff. Hey, but unless you're in a state, though, saying we don't like good stuff, we want to protest, we want to go against that, we filed a lawsuit to actually stop the enforcement of the new Title IX regulations. Hey, and guess what? Who knew that when your state or your government or your politicians actively promote policies that suggest that maybe doing harm to you is something that they're in favor of? Guess what? Those that are at the on the side of hearing those, they feel harm. So LGBTQ plus students right now report, you know, levels of increasing anxiety, increasing fear of their own physical safety. And talking about physical safety again, too, here we're saying, you know, what's happening on college campuses right now with the protests for Israel and Hamas, the Israel-Hamas war. And we're saying, like, yeah, it's a lot going on. But, Johnny, you know, we're really focusing on this idea of going, okay, but in democracy, there are some real issues that we want to protect, largely around this idea. And I love what you put up for the ACLU. Now, I know the ACLU is biased, whatever. Come on, 5 points for that.
Right? Yeah, biased, man.
I know, but we're looking to ensure freedom of speech, academic freedom, and physical protection against physical conduct and then discriminatory harassment. Okay. Putting those things to say is freedom of speech absolutely matters. Academic freedom absolutely matters. Safety matters, and no discrimination. Okay. And if we're going to do that, there are five things we need to do. Johnny, we went over those five, you know, we put it out there. And I think, you know,
well, the recommendations for navigating a really complex time as a leader on a college campus, or maybe you're on a high school principal, or you're a teacher and you're thinking about, hey, you know what? My students have been talking about this. How can we frame approaching this without it being further fuel to the fire? Right. One, we can learn from good sources and get good information on things. But it, again, and I'm going to come back to the education part of this, the K-12 piece, Tim, that can loop us back to this. This is why we teach and we practice core democratic values.
Oh, thank you.
The first time learning to hold conflicting ideas in one space and say, we might not agree, but we can find common ground, shouldn't be over genocide or atrocities that Israeli people experience on a day-to-day basis based on their leader and the actions he's done. And so, you know, the first time we're learning to have these kinds of conversations ought not to be at this high stakes. So that's a big plug for our teachers out there teaching core democratic values and having complex discussions as young people in schools and understanding how to take action within our legal rights. But also that just because we have a constitutional right to free speech doesn't mean we can say or do whatever we want, right?
Right.
So those are like really important things that I do fear we, even though history doesn't repeat itself, it sure does.
It rhymes. As you say, it rhymes.
It sure does rhymes. I think that they said Mark Twain purportedly said that. So to
get right.
But I can never actually find it to quote anything I write. So it's like a purported quote. Someone put it on a shirt somewhere and, you know, then they associate it with Mark Twain. But, you know, these patterns are happening. And if at the very least, I don't want to reduce them because they are really complex. At the very least, they should teach us that the world is a complex place and we have to be able to navigate that complexity if we desire peace. We cannot resort to like fighting that will make more fighting, that will make more fighting, that will make more fighting, and then magically hope that that's going to result in some peace. Right. And so, you know, I think those five things that the ACLU puts out there, you know, as guardrails, they said, as you navigate these important times on your campus, in your school or in your classroom, you know, and then Tim, I kind of think, at the same side, they say, remind us, like warn us against the pressure to use this for political, you know, reasons or to exploit the condition or the real suffering or the fear that people have right now, which is fear of harm for good reason.
Mm-hmm.
People like our students are not okay in a lot of contexts. And so, you know, as part of that too, I just want to plug this because I think we'll come back around to it, especially after we hear about how teachers are teaching this conflict. And I want to come back to like, this is really about really bad leadership, right? And I want us to come back to, we've talked about it before, like what are some of the conditions that lead toward the tyranny of a leader, of fascist leaders? Because I have to imagine that like leaders of a Hamas, leaders of, you know, of the state of Israel and leaders of the United States and leaders of other countries really, you know, are walking a dangerous line around, you know, increased fascism and not democracy. And so this to me is also what happens when you don't listen to people, when you don't hear their lived experiences and you just trudge forward with your agenda.
Well, you know, too, it reminds me of the time we spent at the Minocqua Brewing Company tap house where we were in conversation with everybody.
We had these kinds of conversations.
Yeah, right, where we have these conversations.
Have them then over a beer. And Busted Pencils is sponsored by Minocqua Brewing Company, who sued the state of Wisconsin to end its parasitic voucher system that hurts public schools. Minocqua Brewing Company is making Wisconsin great again, one beer at a time. Check out minocquabrewingcompany.com to see where you can buy their progressive beer. And Tim, I can't wait to have another progressive beer with you guys sometime soon, because you know what? At the end of the day, we ought to be able to hoist them up high, have these conversations. And you know what else? Know that the people of the world are going to be safe.
Be the safe. And I would say, you know what? And let put it there too, because boy, what a safe space it was there in the Minocqua Brewery Tap House to realize that the ability to walk in there and feel welcome, having multiple senses, right? I mean, it's just like, yeah, you know what? You can come in here, and this is a place where you're not going to get accosted. You're not going to have that. And so, you know, again, appreciate that. And appreciate, because what places like Minocqua Brewing Tap House, they provide models for what can be, which is to say that we can have spaces, and we might disagree, but to say that you're not threatened when you walk in here. You don't have to feel that sense of saying, I don't want to admit who I am. I'm not going to say what I believe in. I'm not going to put forward who I'm in love with. No. You know what? I love it. Don't. Just drink beer and don't be a racist, man. Yeah, it's Busted Pencils.
You do, but it ain't everything goes.
Yeah, it ain't everything goes.
Hey, love it. Listeners, we'll catch you on the next one.